Tremendous portion of scripture, and no doubt will be a passage read across many churches all around the world. Although not every church, not every nation celebrates Father's Day the same day as Australia, but a very popular portion of scripture on Father's Day. And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want my inheritance now. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted, everyone say wasted. He wasted it all. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there was nothing left. There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Everyone say want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, this young man, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, no, bring forth the best robe. Everyone say the best robe. Get the best robe and put it on my son, and get the ring and put it on his hand, and put shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The second portion will be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have a God. Yes, he is a high priest, but he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We have a God who is not distant, but we have a God, a heavenly Father, that knows us and knows what we're going through, even to the point where he is touched in his heart when we go through tough times, whatever it is. Romans 8 verse 15 and 16, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. I want to speak today on this title, the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. You may be seated. We already prayed for the word a few moments ago, but the heart of the Father. When we talk about somebody's heart, their heart that they have, we talk about the nature of a person. To know the heart of somebody, to know the heart of somebody is to know what makes them, we use the term, what makes them tick. To know the heart of somebody is to know their innermost characteristics. To know the heart of somebody is to know their feelings. To know the heart of somebody is to even know their inclinations. When we talk about the heart of God, we are talking about the essence of who God is. We are talking about the things that he desires, his will, his purposes. We're talking about his innermost character. We're talking about his inclinations. I'm talking about the heart of the Father. And we can learn the heart of the Father. We can learn the heart of God by reading the Word of God. We can learn the heart of God by when we spend time in prayer and devotion, and we spend quiet time. Everyone say quiet time. When you spend quiet time with God, you can begin to hear His heartbeat, and you begin to know the heartbeat of the Father. And it doesn't take long before the heart of God begins to be revealed in the Scriptures. Because right in the book of Genesis, when you first open up the Word, you begin to see in the book of Genesis the heart of God. In His dealings with Adam and Eve, we begin to see the heart of God. And we know that Adam and Eve fell into sin. They were deceived by that serpent, the devil. And they went against God's Word. God told them, He said, you can have anything in the garden. It sounds like us children today, doesn't it? You can have anything in the cupboard, but don't touch the chocolate biscuits. What do you think every child is going to be drawn to? The chocolate biscuits. The thing they can't touch. It's like when you walk past a wall and it says wet paint. Obviously, the sign is there not to touch it, but everybody, oh, it's wet. But they were deceived, and God told them, He said, don't touch the tree. The only thing that was protecting that one tree was that God said, don't touch it. His Word was the thing that was protecting that tree. And so when they disobeyed God's Word, they sinned. And so some people may say, well, what is sin? I don't understand. What exactly is sin? The essence of sin is to disobey God's Word. And so there is Adam and Eve, disobedient to God. And before they had sinned, the Bible says that God would walk with them in the garden. He would be with them. But after the sin, the Lord comes shuffling through the garden, walking through the garden, just like He had at other times. And He came to commune with man. But this time, He couldn't find them. He couldn't find them. Why? Because they were hiding. And God says, Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? And Adam comes out. He says, God, I'm right. I'm just over here. And God says, what's going on, Adam? Why are you hiding from me? And then Adam begins to give an explanation. He says, I'm naked. And his explanation begins to be very revealing about what's going on in Adam, because when he responds, he goes, I am fearful. Everyone say fearful. I mean, really, never have we encountered fear in the Word of God, in the story of man. We had not encountered fear until this exchange between Adam and God. And Adam says, I'm hiding. Because I heard your voice and I was afraid. And I was thinking, as I was reading this, I was thinking, what reason did Adam and Eve have to be afraid? I mean, God had walked with them and they had communed in the garden and he was afraid. What was it? Because there had been such a history of Adam and walking and talking with God, and it wasn't God. Listen to me carefully. It wasn't God that made him afraid. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It wasn't God. God did not change. Nothing had changed with God. God was just as loving as he was before their disobedience. Nothing had changed with God. God is just as kind and compassionate. He loved Adam with an everlasting love. God had not changed. Man had changed. You see, what had happened with man is that sin had corrupted their view of God. They no longer understood God the way they did. And we need to understand that they had known the heart of God. They had walked and talked with God. They had communed in the garden together. But then sin came. God didn't change. Everyone say God didn't change. Man walked away. John chapter 14, verse 6 to 9. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it will suffice us. And Jesus said unto him, How have I been so long with you, and yet you don't know who I am, Philip? Jesus said, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. So why do you say, Philip, show us the Father? You see, you have to understand who Jesus was. Jesus was Emmanuel. He was God with us. Colossians 1 verse 15 says that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. And so when you want to know a little bit more about the heart of God, look at who Jesus was. Look at Jesus. Read the Gospels. Read the words of Jesus. Read the stories and the accounts of Jesus. And it will enable you to see a greater and clearer picture of the heart of God. We can know the heart of God through Jesus Christ. We see the love of God when Jesus died for us on that cross. We see the heart of God when the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish. And some people say, well, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. No, God is not willing that any should perish, but the decision's up to us. He's not willing. He's made a way. One old preacher said, you got to work really hard to go to hell. He said, you got to work hard to go to hell because Jesus has made a way. He died on the cross. He loves you with an everlasting love. I was talking with one of our brothers this week, and he said, I'm so blessed. He said, God has provided. God is always there for me. And he said these words, which really captured me. He said, I feel so sorry for the unsaved. I feel sorry for people that are not God. You see, we have a God who loves us. And when we look at Jesus, we can see exactly who God is. Full of compassion, full of sacrificial love, full of unconditional love. Somebody ought to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in our text, we read what many people would call the parable of the prodigal son. However, some people could justifiably argue that it should not be called the prodigal son, but would be better called the running father. Because very often when we read the story, we read and focus on the boys. The younger son, the prodigal, and we focus on the older son. Maybe we focus there because we can relate to the two sons. In the parable, we see us in the boys, whether the older brother or the younger son. We focus on the boys because we can relate with them, and maybe that's where we're at. But I think as the more I read about this account of the prodigal son, I think the most important character that we read in Luke chapter 15 is neither of the two sons, but the father. Because you may be able to identify yourself in one of the sons. Maybe you're the younger son who has been blessed and is now squandering the blessing and has walked away from the father's house. Maybe that was you once upon a time. Maybe it's you now. Maybe God is speaking to you today so you don't become like the younger son. Or maybe you're the older son and you ought to go and read a little bit about that older brother. But we can relate to ourselves by looking at the younger and the older son. But the most important thing for you is not to find your life in the young son or the older son. The most important thing for you is to understand the heart of the Father. Because Satan is a deceiver. The thing that he would want more than anything is for you to have a misunderstanding about the Father. Satan will try to come and say, you're too far gone. You've been gone too long. You've done too many bad things. You've got too much sin in your life. And Satan would say, there's no way that God would receive you back. There's no way that you could have the same relationship with God that you once had. And his whole motive is for you to have a misunderstanding about the Father. And so when you read Luke chapter 15, brothers and sisters, I want you to focus on the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. Because there will come times where maybe you're not exactly where God wants you to be. Maybe you've drifted and the devil will come. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He's going to come and he's going to try and sow something in your life that you would have a misunderstanding about the Father. You see, Luke 15 is just an earthly story that tells us, teaches us a heavenly story, a heavenly lesson. And so verse 14 says that he took all of his substance, he took his inheritance, and obviously it was a good amount of money. What's worse than that is that he asked for the inheritance early. What a terrible thing to do. And let me stop here and say this to all of us here today. And this is something that I believe quite strongly in. We have no right to talk to our parents about an inheritance. That is their decision. And as children, we don't even bring it up. It's not your money. It's not your things. We have no right to talk to our parents about anything like that. It is a blessing. We don't talk about that. I'm going to leave that there. It can be offensive. Sometimes older people feel like, you want me off the scene already. Anyway, that's a separate sermon. So he went out and he blew it all. And when everything ran out, he began to be in want. The Bible says want. Every word in the Bible is there for a reason. He began to be in want. It doesn't say need. He didn't begin to be in need. He began to be in want. We know what he needed. Everyone say need. We know what he needed. He needed to go back to the Father's house. But the problem was is that he had want in his life. What he really wanted was to have his lifestyle back. When he began to be in want, he wasn't in need yet. There was still pig food he could have eaten. And he thought about it. He was getting ready to eat it. It would have filled his belly. I believe that if he had eaten that pig food, as disgusting as it was, it would have filled a void in his life. And you know, in this world, there are things out in the world that will fill a void in your life, but they will never satisfy you. And so he began to be in want. He needed to go back to the Father's house, but what he really wanted is he wanted more money. He wanted to have his lifestyle back. And he's there, he's in the pig pen, and the Bible says he came to himself. How many people today can remember the day that you came to yourself? Yeah? And thought, you know what? I need God. I need to turn my life over to God. I've got to relinquish control of this wheel because I'm going all over the place. I got to relinquish control. And the Bible says this young man, he came to himself. And he's sitting there. The Bible says he would have eaten that pig's husks. And he began to reflect. He said, how many hired servants? The slaves in my father's house, they have plenty of bread and leftovers. And he said, here I am perishing with hunger. He came to himself. And he said, now I don't believe he was talking to the pigs. He was in the pig pen. And what a sad place for a Jewish boy to be, in a pig pen. That is really a picture of just how far he had gone. He's there in the pig pen and he begins to talk to himself. He's not talking to the pigs. He was preaching to himself. He says this, he says, I will arise. I will go to my father. He's preaching to himself. He says, I have sinned and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Let me stop here and tell everybody here online today, the greatest message and the biggest life-changing sermon you will ever hear is the message you preach to yourself. is the message that you preach to yourself. You can come to church and you can hear Pastor and all of our great preachers preach wonderful sermons, but the greatest, most life-changing message you will ever hear is when you preach it to yourself. And some of us, we're not changing because we're hearing, but we're not preaching it to ourselves. We got to apply it to our life. And when this young man began to preach to himself, some things began to turn around. He says, self, it's time to go home. He's beginning to preach to himself. He says, self, it's time to gather my stuff. It's time to get my possessions. It's time to go and get my heart right with the Father. It's time to go. It's time for a change. Let me tell you, the greatest message you will ever preach is the message you preach to yourself. And I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and sometimes I do. But some of us need to start preaching to ourselves. Apply the word of God to our hearts. It says in Luke 15, verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no longer worthy to be thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Can you see the misunderstanding that had got into this young man's mind? He said, I'm going to go to Dad. I'm going to tell Dad, I have sinned against heaven. And I have sinned against you. And here's the misunderstanding. He said, I can never be a son again. I can never be restored to the place that I was. He said, all I deserve is to be a lowly servant in your house. And this is why I'm speaking about the heart of a father, the heart of the father. Because the prodigal son had a misunderstanding about the father that affected his relationship with his father. And I want to come against that today. I want us to understand and to truly see the heart of our Heavenly Father, to see the heart of God. He had a misunderstanding. It had changed his approach. He's thinking, you know, and let me tell you, when we have a misunderstanding, we think that if we fall and we sin, that God will never receive us back. And the devil's going to come and accuse us and try to make sure that we don't forget that. Sometimes we think that God is angry at us. Yeah, God hates our sin, but he doesn't hate us. His heart overflows with mercy and compassion, so much so that Lamentation says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And that ought to be good news to somebody this morning. That ought to be good news to whoever's here and hearing this word. His mercies never come to an end. I'm talking about the heart of the Father. The greatest misunderstanding, and all through history there's been some great misunderstandings. Even between nations and international relations and things like that. But the greatest misunderstanding is any misunderstanding that impacts your relationship with God. Don't have a misunderstanding about the Father. You see, you may go low and you may wander far. You may even spend it all on riotous living. But let me tell you, we have a God who does not write us off. We have a God who does not shut the door. We have a God who patiently waits. He's the running Father. When you take one step towards him, he's the running Father. He will come. The Bible says if you draw nigh to God, that he will draw nigh to you. If you're away from God today, maybe you're lost in sin, or maybe there's a whole lot of crazy stuff going on in your life and you're not where you need to be with God. Let me tell you, he's waiting for you. As I read that prodigal son story, I just see the father out on the porch every day, just looking down the road, hoping to see his son appear making his way back. And one day he did, after he came to himself. The prodigal son has rehearsed a speech. He's rehearsed his speech, Jackson. He's ready to go. He's got his speech when he sees Dad. But you know what? He rehearses that speech, but he never gets to use it. He says, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be son. Dad, I have sinned against heaven. Dad, I have sinned against you. Dad, I want to come home, but I know that there can't be any restoration. He's got all of this speech prepared. George, he's got all of this speech prepared, but he doesn't get to use it. Why? Because he is embraced by a loving father who hugs his neck, who takes him in his arms. He doesn't even have a chance to say a thing because he gets to experience the loving embrace of a loving father who comes running down the road. The Bible says he kissed him. And then the son would have been thinking, well, oh, that's great, but you know, surely there's no restitution. Surely. And he would have been thinking, Dad, I've lost my testimony. I've lost my integrity. My character is gone. And he's thinking, Dad's going to be so mad at me. But little did he know that Dad wasn't mad. Dad wasn't disappointed. He wasn't angry. He was waiting. He says, Son, I've been waiting every day to see you walking down that road again. I'm talking about the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. Don't let a misunderstanding about God get into your heart. Don't let a misunderstanding about God get into your spirit. Start making your way back home. Wherever you are today, start making your way back home. The Father is waiting. He is the running Father. He will embrace you. He will restore that relationship with you. The Father says, get the robe. Get the robe. The finest robe, and put it on him. I heard a preacher preach a great message about the prodigal son. He called it the robe, the ring, and the Reeboks. Obviously, he was looking for three R's. But the father said, go get the robe and put it on him. The robe signified being part of the family. He was restored in relationship. He said, go get the robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet. And you know that calf that we've been fattening up in the back paddock? He said, go and kill it. Let's eat. Let's be merry. Here is the heart of the Father. He said, for this my son was dead. Now he wasn't dead physically, but he was lost. He was outside of the Father's house. And let me stop and get really plain with you right now. If you're outside of the Father's house, if you're away from God, if you've wandered away and lost, and you're lost in sin, then I guess the best word for you is dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And he said, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. And they began to be merry. Let me tell you, the time that heaven has a party is when one sinner comes to repentance. Oh, I don't want you to have a misunderstanding about God. I don't want you to have a misunderstanding about his heart. I want to tell you, we have a loving God. We have a God who doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all would come to repentance. The heart of the Father. The heart of the Father. If the musicians could come right now. You see, wherever you are today, I encourage you, start making your way back home. Why didn't the father go looking for the son? Why didn't he go looking for him? You say, well, Pastor, when I read Luke 15, when the one sheep in the flock went missing, the shepherd went looking for the sheep. He went looking. Everyone say looking. And the lady who had 10 coins, when she lost one coin, what did she do? She went looking. She turned the house upside down. But when we come to the account of the prodigal son, there were two sons and one went. The father never went looking. He waited at the house. You see, the sheep was lost because of ignorance or stupidity. The coin was lost by accident. But if you've walked away from the father's house, it was your choice, and you must make the journey back. God is using this crazy preacher on the 3rd of September to say, don't have a misunderstanding about the Father. He waits. He longs for your return. And when you get home, the best thing you can do is to begin to preach this to yourself. It's great to see so many people, they take notes. You know what? When you take notes, you can get home and read it and begin to preach that to yourself. Begin to apply it to your life. The Bible says, let us not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. Let's all stand in this place today. Don't have a misunderstanding about the Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Wherever you are today, let me tell you, there is reconciliation and there is restoration for you today. Can we just lift our hands all across this place? I believe God is speaking to somebody right now. Hallelujah. Don't let a misunderstanding about the Father creep into your spirit. God is calling your name today. It's no coincidence that you're here in church today. You're hearing this message. And maybe you've made up all sorts of reasonings in your mind why you can never be restored back to relationship with God. But I've come to expel every one of those reasons that you've made up and to tell you that we have a God who is full of love and His mercies never end. Let's just lift our hands. Let's everybody lift them right up now. Let us just begin to thank God. You got something to thank God for today, church. You've got something to thank God for. Thank you, Lord, for picking me up out of the miry clay. Lord God, I thank you that you're the God of second chances. Lord God, I fail and I falter and I fall short so often, Lord, but you're so loving. Lord God, hallelujah, you love us, God. Lord, your love is greater than any hurt that we could cause you. Lord God, Lord, we thank you for your love today. Lord, I pray for somebody today that's here. And even in their own mind, they've said, I'm too far gone. There's no way that God could forgive me. There's no way that I could be restored my mistake. Let me tell you, your failure is not fatal. Your failure is not final. We have a God who loves and restores. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Oh.